listening now to the Urban Sports Scene. I always wanted to do that.
Like what?
What's up with that voice?
With my voice?
Yes.
I always wanted to do it. Like when the NBA or NBC came on, there's that voice. Like
Marv.
You are. Yeah, Marv.
No, actually, it was Bob Costas.
That's what it was?
The show, yes.
It was awesome. It was like, you are listening to the NBA or NBC.
Adam Silver needs some food.
Huh?
By the way, Adam Silver needs to eat.
Oh, yeah, he is skinny.
Mr. Burns.
Simpsons. He does like Mr. Burns.
Unfortunately.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. My man Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. Will T is out. Am I on the injured reserve list?
Still. Again, unfortunately.
Still. Yeah,
but I'm going to stop mocking him because I almost got hurt just walking.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
See, what goes around comes around, man. You can't be making fun of people, man.
I apologize.
I've done it. It was funny, though, last week, though.
It was.
I'm sorry. I had a good time. Sorry, Will, at your expense, but it was still hilarious, though. it was, though. You know, great things happen prior to this show. We were supposed to air on Tuesday, but things happened. But we're here airing Thursday. It's the NBA draft special here for the Urban Sports Scene. But like I said, great things happen prior to this show. LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers won one for the land. Did you get an opportunity to watch games 6 and 7? I mean, those were after our last show.
Yes, and it was exciting. The parade was probably more exciting than the actual games were, because I felt like Golden State didn't put forth their best effort. I want to see more of a slugfest, even though the game was fairly close in Game 7.
And yeah, we're going to talk about that definitely probably around the, I want to say, the 7:55 mark. But the NBA draft is on right now. Obviously, you know, a lot of young kids have the opportunity to fulfill a dream. You're going to have Ben Simmons probably go number one and Brandon Ingram go number two. So I'm proud of these young men. It's an opportunity I wish I could have.
Typically, around this time of year, growing up in the D.C. area, I'm focused now on the Baltimore Orioles, which is now the Nationals, thank God. I'm glad, glad I have a better baseball team in my life now. But anyway.
What?
The fact that the NBA draft is on, it is exciting. And just looking at these guys, you go from broke kid to millionaire within a matter of minutes, which is amazing to me. But it is a great opportunity. I pray that they maximize it.
I can't believe you said the Orioles comment. That was kind of sly.
Nah,
I threw that one in, man.
I did grow up Orioles fan, though. I do admit it.
You threw
because
that
that's
one
all
in.
We had. I did. I took a shot.
You did. You took taking shots, man. Early, though.
And may LeBron James winning a title in Cleveland, may that be an inspiration and a motivator for not just you, we'll get to that, but also to the Washington Nationals. Don't give up. You're the best team. Go win it.
All right, man. It's time to get to our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. The Cleveland Cavaliers winning the NBA championship. We're going to talk about Game 6 and 7 and LeBron's legacy. Also, we'll discuss why LeBron James winning the championship bodes well for the Washington Wizards. And for some WNBA talk, the WNBA named 20 greatest and most influential players in their league's history. We will have Cecilia Towns, writer from Gladiate Hers, to discuss it. But before all that, again, the NBA draft is going on right now. The first pick hasn't been selected yet, but let's talk about the number one pick. We all know that, you know, it's all reports out there that Ben Simmons is going to be drafted number one. But if it was you, who would you select number one in the NBA draft?
Ben Simmons is clearly the most talented player. It's unfortunate that his team didn't make the NCAA tournament when he played at LSU. But I think individually he is the most gifted. And I love his size. I love his speed. Love his athleticism. And I feel like with the right coaching, he'll be a star in the league.
I think to me, you know, you hear a lot about Ben Simmons. People say that, you know, he didn't produce the way that he should have produced in college.
Whoa,
he took games
double.
Yeah, I know. But people say that he should have led his team to the postseason. He didn't play hard enough at certain points in a game. And I say if that's going to be the knock on Ben Simmons, then he got a double-double without trying.
19 points, 11 rebounds a game.
Exactly.
And the thing is, if you looked at his teammates, he didn't always get the ball.
Totally agree.
I guess my only feedback would be, or my only response to that would be, okay, well, if he does go to the Sixers, then he's going to be prepared to go through some frustrating times with teammates. a la like he did at LSU. So if you're going to be mentally, you're going to grow up being mentally tough.
Yeah.
To prepare for that.
Well, what?
But he went through it already.
Exactly. What I like about him is in the potential, of him go playing for the 76ers. He will be in essence their point guard. You have Okafor who's gonna be in the block. Still the reports thought that Noel may get traded or Okafor, but I think Noel probably be traded before Okafor. You have Ben Simmons, a guy who will get these guys involved, who you can run offense through and do a lot for him. And he's not a guy we watched in college. He's not a guy that just wants to who wants to score. He's a guy who wants to pass and rebound. And right now Ben Simmons has been selected by the Philadelphia 76ers as the number one pick.
He is
no
a point
surprise.
Forward. He is a point forward.
Yeah,
no. He's excellent. I like his game. Again, you have to take him. There is no question that he's the best player in the draft.
So who does the number one pick compare to?
Compared to past number one picks? Or
as a player.
Whose game can
his
I compare
game,
him to?
A game. His game. Whose game?
To be honest with you, and I'm going back to Texas, I think he reminds me of a young KD,
Oh, wow.
KD's game has evolved. KD was a good shooter, a better shooter, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But to me, KD in college, he played a lot in the block. He was just really versatile. And I feel like Ben Simmons runs the floor similar to KD, has a similar body style, although I know there are other players being compared to Kevin Durant as well. But that's what he reminds me of, a left-handed version.
And call in. The question is, who does Ben Simmons compare to? Call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. For me, Ben Simmons reminds me of a little bit of Lamar Odom. I see that in Rhode Island, a guy who brought the ball up the court. He did so much with the team. Lamar Odom was a better ball handler to me compared to Ben Simmons. But in the post, he did some work Lamar Odom was better on a perimeter to me compared to Ben Simmons. But Ben Simmons, to me, when you look at him, Lamar Odom was a better facilitator compared to Lamar Odom.
I think the left-handed thing,
obviously, that kind of plays a part. Yeah.
Because he's been compared to Chris Bosh. But look, he's being compared to Grant Hill right now as we're speaking. So he's that good. He's that versatile when you can compare him to all these different guys.
I guess as a defender, I don't know that much about him as a defender. I know as an offensive player, like you mentioned, he averaged about 20 points a game, 11 boards. The guy got so many people involved in LSU, and I'm with you, Ray. I think people don't really talk about it enough. They keep saying, well, he didn't play hard, and that's why, or it's why, how come he didn't make the tournament? If you watch LSU, that team froze him out a lot, and some of those players just wouldn't give him the ball. And I feel like they wanted to take advantage of the TV time they were getting because of a Ben Simmons.
If you follow high school basketball like I do, then you know that Ben Simmons is a hard worker.
Yes.
Point blank, period. And that's one of his strengths going in. When you compare him to past number one picks, especially the bad ones,
yeah,
a la Kwame Brown, Bennett, that went to Cleveland. Where is he, by the way? Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
This guy works hard. Look, the Sixers fans know they got a good number one pick, a legitimate number one pick. And I think automatically you'll see the Sixers now move up, I should say. Not ease up, but move up in the Eastern Conference standings, which is well needed because they were – I don't think the Sixers could have won the NCAA tournament last year. That's how bad they were.
Yeah, they were that bad. Speaking for the number two – well, I guess the prestige number two pick in Brandon Ingram, I've heard reports that had him compared to a Kevin Durant. Do you think that their games are similar?
Brandon – no, I don't think so. I just feel like Kevin Durant, again, was a bit more versatile. As I think the game evolves, you're going to see more and more athletic bigs, especially those wiry guys. We see them all the time now, it feels like. Kevin Durant is just the most obvious example. A guy like Nerlens Noel, he's not as versatile, but he can run the floor, wiry, skinny guy. There are a number of these guys. KG, he was one of those guys as well. The game just continues to produce these type of young, athletic, raw, wiry guys who can run the floor. And again, you can compare them to each other, but that to me, that's not a good one. And he's not as good of a shooter, although I heard he's working on that.
Uh-huh.
And he's also wanting to bulk up, which may or may not be the best thing. I think let your body grow as your game continues to evolve. And also, as the years go by, LeBron James didn't just bulk up his first season.
Mm-hmm.
It was over the course of years as he worked. Get the right team around you, and I think you'll probably find your way, better than trying to do these things on your own because of whatever the criticisms are. But anyway, getting back to your question, I can't think of who he necessarily – I can't think of one particular player who he necessarily reminds me of, but KD just isn't it for me.
Like for me, he doesn't remind me of Kevin Durant. We look at the stats, looking at his stats in at Duke, because Brandon Ingram played for Duke last year. He averaged about 17 points a game. Had 6.8 boards. When you look at Kevin Durant, I believe he averaged about 25 points in Texas. More of a scorer, was the best player on the floor for that team. Excuse me, even playing with a DJ Augustine. You look at Brandon Ingram playing at Duke.
Grayson Allen
was the best player on the team. So I can't give you that because you see what. Grayson Allen was the guy that gave the ball to down the stretch.
That P word.
Yeah, potential. The only similarity that I've seen with Brandon Ingram to Kevin Durant is, you know, the build. They're both skinny guys, tall, long arms. Kevin, I agree with you, Ray, that Kevin Durant to me was a far better shooter than a Brandon Ingram. I think Brandon Ingram is a good shooter, but he's not to the level of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had endless range playing for Texas that year. And it wasn't like he forced shots up. Everything was smooth. What you see now pretty much is a shooter you saw in Texas. I'm with you. I don't see the comparison with Kevin Durant other than the build. And, a lot of times, with Ben Simmons, you mentioned how he's a lefty. That's why people compared him to, like myself, I compared him to Lamar Odom. Well, in this realm, in this situation, people have compared Brandon Ingram, to a Kevin Durant because of his build.
That's it. But it's a lot of guys like that shape who are built, you know, similar to Kevin Durant, you know, just over time. Darius Miles, if you want to go that, you know, I say KG, a lot of these guys, you know, who come out who are slim, again, tall, not necessarily point fours, but, you know, guys who can play more than one position and including the forward position. So I don't know. We'll see how he turns out. I just don't see Kevin Durant being, you know, his upside. I'm trying to think of a guy as we talk who I could compare him to, and I'm just drawing blanks. Again, we'll see. We'll get a
Jonathan
good idea.
Bender?
No, Jonathan Bender was a little bit more athletic, if you ask me.
Okay.
And Jonathan Bender, in my opinion, was a good shooter too.
Yeah. He's a good shooter. He's not a bad shooter. Brandon Ingram's not a bad shooter.
I'm not saying he's a bad shooter, but he's streaky to me.
Okay. Well,
what about Harrison Barnes?
Harrison Barnes is
just his game. Barnes is a good all around player.
Yeah.
But and they don't have the same type of build, do they?
Yeah. Who, Harrison Barnes?
Harrison Barnes is a little bit thicker.
No, he's thicker. He's thicker. Harrison Barnes is
but
more muscle.
But as we're watching his highlights, Harrison Barnes can do that. He can go to the rack.
He's got extra range. He has good range.
KD was quicker.
Yeah, he's quicker. KD's first step is much quicker. The only similarity to me, in my opinion, is that, you know, the build. You look at their build, that's what you're going to go off of. I'm with you. Also, again, you listen to Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, my homeboy, Ray Jeezy. Again, I'll phrase it this way. I'll phrase the question for you all to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Who does Ben Simmons' game compare it to? And who does Brandon Ingram's game compare it to? So feel free to call in, answer the question, and we're here to talk to you. We'll wrap to you and discuss it. Between these two players, who's going to be the best player, you know, from years to come?
I'm going to go with Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons?
I'm not liking what the Lakers are doing right now. I need to see what happens with them first.
Uh-huh.
Now, that could clearly change in the future. But right now, that's who I'm looking at. I'm looking at the two teams. Now, one could say, are you tripping? The Sixers franchise, you think they're going to mold a star? I just think Ben Simmons is just that good versus Brandon Ingram. If you're needing to develop, can Luke Walton be that guy? I'm not sure. The Lakers are in rebuilding mode, and it might take more time to really see what his full potential will be or you know, his ceiling will be.
Well, you know, I'm back in L.A. as an L.A. fan. I love the pick. You know what I mean? You know, Kobe's gone.
That's what you love more than
I love it. Kobe's gone. Brandon Ingram's in town. Luke Walton's here. This is a great situation for the Lakers. I like the pick. As a Laker fan, I wanted Ben Simmons, but obviously the Sixers weren't stupid. You got to get the best player in the draft. I think Ben Simmons is going to be the better player, but I do like what they're doing. You add in Ingram. Hopefully, you know, you get some other young pieces. I'm not a big fan of Russell, but we'll see what happens with him. You can still work around with Julius Randle, and there's still some play in free agency. Maybe they sign a Harrison Barnes. Maybe they get a DeRozan out of Toronto, so they can make some moves within, you know, free agency to add in with the draft of Brandon Ingram. But they should be happy with Brandon Ingram. Don't put that much pressure on him, and hopefully, you know, he becomes the player that the Lakers hope for him to be. We're going to move off the NBA draft. We're going to the NBA. What, you got some more?
Well, bad, I thought you were going to ask a question about either the best player in the draft. I asked
that question. You want me to ask another question? I can do it again.
No, or who was the most
impactful? Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I take that back. You're right. You
only
call
reason
me
I say that because
you call me on ground. You're no, right. You're right. You're right. You're
reason,
right.
I'm sorry to interrupt you though. But the only reason I asked you that is because I just want to put this out here. If Buddy Hield goes to Minnesota, I just think that is such a good fit. Because if he goes to a playoff caliber team with Thibodeau, and he's a pure shooter, I just think he could potentially be rookie of the year.
But see, I think Buddy Hield will be better in Boston.
That's what you said.
Yeah, I think he'll be better in Boston.
Well, I like Boston too. Again, a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, I think they need a shooter. They need, like, you got Isaiah Thomas breaking you down, but they don't have shooters around Isaiah Thomas. You got a knockdown shooter compared to Buddy Hield. I think you can do some things. And we all seen how Brad Stevens coaches that team up.
He's an excellent coach. I'm concerned that it's just not enough. Well, you got Avery Bradley there, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, he's a shooter.
But he's not like
he's not a pure shooter.
Yeah.
And then you got Marcus Smart. I'm just wondering, would that affect, you know, his ability to get shots? And you
got a
shoot first point guard.
Got you.
Versus, you know, an old school coach like Thibodeau, I believe it could work. And he'll improve.
But see, this is my thing about that. So where do you put Buddy Hield at? Because you got LaVine, you got Wiggins. So what do you do with him?
But neither one of those guys are shooters, though.
So, but he's not starting over those guys,
though. Of course not. If you need shooting, you can play him with one of those guys at the same time, along with a point guard.
Could you play LaVine at the one and maybe Buddy Hield at the
two? Yeah, why not?
That's a possibility.
I think so. My bad. I just went through.
No, you're good. You're good. I want to see where Chris Dunn goes, to be honest with you. I think Chris Dunn is a phenomenal talent. Again, I think that's he can go to Phoenix, and I think Phoenix would, you know, be lucky to have him. I know Phoenix is they're more in love with maybe the kid out of Croatia, Bender. I mean, yeah, Bender. They're in love with him. I'm not a big fan of overseas players. I'm not a big fan of overseas players, though.
I think Dunn could be like a John Wall type. You know, 6'4", same body type.
Mm-hmm.
Not as quick.
Is he taller than 6'4"?
No, he's 6'4".
Is he? He looks tall.
Check it out, Stat Boy. Let's see.
I'm Stat Boy. Yeah, I got to be Stat Boy now, right? Now he's 6'4". You're actually correct. 6'4".
Told you.
I like Chris. I mean, I love Chris Dunn's game because he plays great defense. That's something that stood out to me while watching him at Providence. Being a Georgetown fan, you get to see him. I got to see him about twice a season. So yeah, I love his defense.
Yeah, see, he messed people up. On Selection Sunday, because the Reese Davises of the world, like, Chris Dunn, I mean, they're going to at least go to the Elite Eight, and everybody's like, oh, shoot, change your bracket, put Providence somewhere, you know, closer to the Final Four.
Yeah, it didn't work out that way, but let's go to NBA trades real quick. Derrick Rose was traded to the Knicks. Bulls traded Rose, Justin Holiday, and a 2017 second round pick to the Knicks for Robin Lopez, Jaren Grant, and Jose Calderon.
My question to you is Derrick Rose the new Penny Hardaway?
It looks like it, doesn't it? I'm praying that that's not the truth. I'm praying that he has that athletic ability next season. I think it's more mental than anything. There's times in a game you see him get up there and you're like, oh, he can still jump. You know what I mean? He can dunk off rebounds and whatnot, and it looks explosive. But there are times when you look at him, you're like, man, you don't have that same gear anymore. But I think it's more mental. I think it's an opportunity to go to New York and to, like, rebuild himself. And I think he can do that.
We will see. The potential is there. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in into a Jeff Hornacek coach team, as well as playing alongside Carmelo Anthony. But these guys talked about hooking up years ago in Chicago, so they obviously feel like they can make it work. And if Derrick Rose is healthy, he's going to obviously produce. I think that instead of comparing him to Penny, I'm going to compare him to D-Wade.
Okay.
Because D-Wade was apparently washed up after Miami won a championship in 2006. And then he got the right trainer, Michael Jordan's old trainer, by the way, and came back just a monster and went on to win two more titles with LeBron James.
No, I'm with you. I like that comparison. I like Derrick Rose compared to Dwayne Wade because it's all about motivation. I think he's motivated. This is an opportunity for him to do great things. He's going to play with Melo, Porzingis. You got reports that Joakim Noah is targeted by New York Knicks. And we saw when Melo was a free agent, that Bulls team wanted Melo to play with Derrick Rose and Noah. So now he has an opportunity to have that in New York. So I think there's definitely potential for big things in New York to turn this thing around. I think Derrick Rose is the key. I think to be honest with you, Derrick Rose can do some special things in New York. And I'm just hoping that he believes in himself and believes in his ability that he can get to that level. So for the number three pick, the Boston Celtics select Jaylen Brown from California. California had a bunch of kids who were a lot of people were first round grade players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In the tournament, they went out. They really messed my bracket up. Anyway,
it's the truth, man. I'm a believer of Derrick Rose. I hope that health is on his side. Also, Jeff Teague was traded to the Pacers via a three team deal. George Hill went to Utah. The Hawks got the Jazz's 12th pick, and I'm trying to think who else got traded. That's about it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So your thoughts on the trade? I like Jeff Teague.
Jeff Teague is a great fit for the Pacers because they needed a score.
Yeah.
They need a second score in addition to Paul George. We got a chance to watch those guys live. I do like Miles Turner. Don't get me wrong. But a guy who can, if you need to rest Paul George,
mm-hmm.
You have somebody on the floor
totally
who can
create for others.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love the pick. Excuse me. I love the trade, and I love that. Also, they just got Thaddeus Young too. Today, I think today they got Thaddeus Young.
Oh, really?
Yes, they got Thaddeus Young today. So you add that in with Jeff Teague and Paul George. I think it's a good mixture, and I think that's offense for the Indiana Pacers. I think the Pacers, to me, have gravitated themselves to a position where they could be the fourth to second best team in the Eastern Conference, because right now it's still the Cleveland Cavaliers title to get. So speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James. Is he the GOAT now? We'll discuss that after the break. And the Cleveland Cavaliers win the NBA Finals. It's the Urban Sports Saint. For ages, you dig, deuces.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times, without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, for all those that came before.
And Thompson. Each team has a foul to give
as we come up on a minute remaining.
And they're putting Curry in the pick and roll, trying to get him on Irving.
Irving and Curry, one-on-one. Irving puts it up.
Let's go! Curry Irving from downtown! And the Cavaliers by three.
They got it.
Iguodala to inbound. Shumpert trying to save it. Curry catches. One dribble, steps back, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spates. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
Cleveland's long sports nightmare has ended. The drought is over. 52 years. Time to celebrate a title.
Oh my God!
And the emotions for LeBron James, who delivers on his promise to come home and bring a championship to his beloved hometown.
Yeah, we're back. Urban Sports Scene, you're listening to Ray and Wally. Also, check us out on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. And you can also listen to us on the Sports Grid podcast when we're not broadcasting on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. blogtalkradio.com/WC. Still a fan.
Yeah, that's like you said, when we're not broadcasting on?
Yeah, not. I mean, he's about to come. He's about to come on. We can't be on the same time.
I'm about to say, like, when we're not, I'm about to say, like, because you got me. I was like, well, Thursday. Then I'm thinking, this day is like,
it is Thursday.
It's a special day, though, for us. I'm like, what the goony goo goo. But yeah, like I mentioned before the break, we're talking about the NBA Finals, LeBron James' legacy. Let's start it off right there. We missed off game 6 and 7. What was your thoughts of those two games?
Game 6, we watched some of that game together.
Yeah, we did. We sure did.
the Cleveland Cavaliers, for lack of a better term, just punched them in the mouth from the opening tip. And I think based on the fact that the Warriors were injured, and also the Cavaliers are playing with so much confidence, LeBron James was virtually unstoppable. I think that psychologically, they at the time, they were worried. And I think that's where once you get the psychological edge, you know, which I think they actually had that against Oklahoma City when they got back in the series. And it was the exact opposite for them in the finals. They knew what it felt like to be down and have your back against the wall. And, you know, I think the pressure got to them. And also the fact that they didn't have an answer for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think psychologically they were lost at the beginning of that game when they got down 20. And they did go on a run, though. They cut the lead to 7. But still, it was a monumental task on the road in the finals against against a desperate team.
Do you think players a player like, say, Klay Thompson or even, you know, Ayesha Curry helped motivate LeBron James, and that's why maybe they're not two-time champions?
No, based on what LeBron James said after the finals was, he's been motivated since way before then. People have been saying, I got the coach fired, I assembled this team. He said, I was listening to everything. You know, so it wasn't just those two people. And the thing is, things were said on the court. Whatever said by Klay and Steph, he knows what they're saying.
Yeah.
So he's not motivated by that. He was motivated by a lot of different things that were being said out there, and including the fact that, you know, he was a choke artist. Because once it was 3-1, we all, including
of course,
myself, said it was over.
Yeah, I said too.
On last week's show, I kind of like trolled our guest from ESPN South Jersey by saying, look, it's not going to happen. It would be a great story, but it's not going to happen. And it happened. But I don't think it was those two particular things. But LeBron had enough motivators out there.
He believed the series was over too, though. He was in agreement with you, though.
Oh, the guy did?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he was in agreement with you. I was, you know, for me, I think we all believed, though,
the
series
was
over.
It's the way he described what it would be like if LeBron James and the Cavaliers completed the comeback. I'm like, wow, that'd be a great story.
Yeah, you did.
It's the way he said it. He said it very dramatic. Yeah. You know, go back and listen to it.
No, it's the truth. You're right. That's how it sounded. You know,
it played out like that because LeBron James turned out to just be the best player on the floor.
Yeah, and I did predict that the Cavs would win the series, but I said in the 6.
The biggest motivator for LeBron James was constantly hearing that Steph Curry was the new face of the league.
Of course.
Jersey sales, that Steph was better than him. He was tired of hearing about Stephen Curry because he is an ultra competitor.
Do you think that changes, though, even though he's won the championship? I still think Steph may still be the face of the league now.
It's where the league is headed, yes. But LeBron James reminded people that he's still the best player.
So awesome.
Because when LeBron, even when LeBron is not at his best, he's 6'8 athletic, he's going to have a decent game. In the game that they lost, what was that, game 4, his stat line wasn't that great. He had only like 19 points, but still, that's a good night for lot of guys.
He shot like a lot of layups down that during like the last 2 minutes.
That's okay though. But I'm just saying, for Steph, when he has a bad game, it's like, oh, stop shooting already.
Yeah,
you know, that's the problem. That's the difference. LeBron James can impact the game in so many different ways. Whereas Steph, when he's off, you know, he's a good decoy.
So LeBron James was the best player in that series to you?
Yes.
Okay, so what do you say to the people that say Kyrie Irving should have been the Finals MVP?
I think he was best supporting cast member. Because that's what LeBron lacked in Cleveland throughout his first stint and his second stint. He never could have that second guy step up consistently, and Kyrie Irving finally provided that.
No, I agree with you. My thing, you know, Ray, you're a big Scottie Pippen fan. Would Jordan win championships without Scottie Pippen?
Not six.
On those Bulls teams.
Not six, but he would have won a championship.
Well, on those Bulls teams, he was very important.
I'm not sure he wins six. Scottie Pippen was a very integral part in every championship.
Exactly.
But Michael Jordan was that good that he would have won without Scottie Pippen. Maybe not six, though. Maybe not.
Well, he couldn't.
And maybe not three consecutive titles on more than one
occasion. Let's put it this way. He couldn't be the Pistons team until Scottie Pippen stepped up, right? Can we say that? So Scottie Pippen became Scottie Pippen. They weren't beating the Detroit Pistons.
No, that was Michael Jordan, man.
But I'm just telling you, they weren't.
Michael Jordan got in shape. He changed his personality. Scottie Pippen was still soft. Don't get me wrong. He's my favorite player, but he was soft. Guys like Rodman, Xavier McDaniel, these guys, they used to punk Scottie Pippen. Pippen just outplayed them, yes, because he was talented.
Yeah.
And he was long. He was athletic. But Michael Jordan became a totally different person. Did you watch the Jordan rules I mean, have you seen?
I've seen the book.
Look at these things. They made him who he became.
Oh, I'm not arguing that, but Michael Jordan would even tell you. But Michael Jordan would tell you that if it wasn't for Scottie Pippen. But matter of fact, I want to use Michael Jordan.
He said that in the Hall of Fame speech.
Yeah,
yes.
even the Bad Boys Pistons said it. Even through in that documentary, they said that Scottie Pippen was a different animal. Yeah, so it's like to me, it's. They weren't beating Detroit without Scottie stepping up.
Well, here's the thing. To me, it was just part of his development. He came to league in 87. He was young when they first played it. Uh-huh. So, you fast forward 3 years. Now he's ready for the moment. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
But I'm saying.
Kyrie Irving always had the talent. He finally found that it factor in the finals that he was needed to be on that stage.
And he got the platform. He got the platform. But like my point is that, you know, Shaq. To needed Kobe to win championships. Duncan needed Tony Parker and company to win championships. You need somebody to help you win championships.
Yeah, but that don't mean it should be MVP.
No, I agree. My argument is that for people to say that LeBron wouldn't win a championship without a Kyrie Irving, of course he wouldn't. You need that other player to help you out. You can't do it by yourself. Championships weren't done by yourself.
That's not a criticism to me.
Well, a lot of people
are using it as a criticism. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
That's crazy.
You'll hear like, oh, if it wasn't for Kyrie Irving, LeBron James would win a championship. Everybody needs help. This notion that you don't need help to win a championship is crazy. Akeem Olajuwon needed Sam Cassell in that series against the New York Knicks. And Kenny, you know what I mean? So it's like you need
Robert Horry, you need your
teammates. So I don't want to, if Robert Horry wasn't hitting threes and Sam Cassell wasn't coming up clutch, Hakeem Olajuwon wouldn't be the New York Knicks.
The LeBron detractors like to say that he doesn't hit the big shot.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
And Kyrie Irving made that shot that now
that's,
it's going to be
magnified. That's what it is.
Versus Jordan has, you know, big shots without the Russell one. So you're going to say he pushed off with something. But Jordan has many big shots. As a matter of fact, I thought Steph Curry was going to be the new Jordan. Like, he just kept breaking Cleveland's heart. That's what it seemed like. Even though he never really played his best games against Cleveland. However, I think Kyrie Irving also was sick of hearing about Steph Curry.
I totally agree.
So he came out to basically say, hey, look, I have that capability too, where I can score a will if I want. And Steph Curry, who was a good, excellent defender, if you ask me, he knew he was on his heels. Although in that last play, I think you let him go around you versus giving him a three. But I know he had his hand up.
That was good defense. It was a tough shot.
It was good defense. It was a tough shot. But still, to me, you play even closer. So if he goes around you, so what?
Okay. But I think it was a tough shot.
It was an excellent shot. On the road, too?
Yeah, I just think that was
game
a tough
seven,
shot.
That's a big
shot. That wasn't even bad. See, that wasn't even bad defense to me.
Just to go back to my point about LeBron, people forget that before Ray Allen hit that miraculous shot, LeBron James hit a three.
True. That's true. That's real.
So, and LeBron James, he's hit some game winners in his life.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. So where do you rank LeBron James within all-time greats?
I still think he is... third.
Third. Name your top three then. Your top two. Ahead of him.
I have Michael Jordan and Magic ahead of him still.
I have Magic my number one, so it doesn't really matter with the Michael Jordan situation. But what I'll say this much. I have him ahead of Kobe. I have him ahead of Kobe. I think that when you look at LeBron's resume, four MVPs, three final MVPs, three-time champion. LeBron James, to me, when you look at what he accomplished against Golden State, beating the 73-9 team, being down 3-1, first team ever in the NBA Finals to come back from a 3-1 deficit, I don't think it's even close to it. I think LeBron James is over Kobe, and I know that's what we have to compare it to.
It is close,
at this situation.
You can't say that.
Okay, go ahead. For me, I just think I don't even think it's
and
close.
I also think what is the deciding factor for me is that head-to-head,
LeBron beats Kobe.
And this is LeBron played Kobe while Kobe was still in his prime.
Yeah.
Even when Kobe was winning championships.
And he was in Cleveland.
After Shaq, yes.
And he was in Cleveland.
LeBron would win. His teams would win most of the time. Versus, you know, people say, oh, well, Kobe beat Jordan. That was at the end of Jordan's career. It didn't
count. You're talking about Jordan with the Wizards?
At the end of his Bulls career and a Wizards team, I think Kobe's Lakers team got a victory against Chicago. Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's with Shaq. Well, Shaq is a dominant player.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, people will try to say, well, Kobe's teams did beat. Yeah, he didn't play Michael in his prime when Michael was ready to beat Detroit. And again, these guys, they pattern their games after Michael Jordan anyway.
So real quick, do you think LeBron stays in Cleveland? He says he has no intention to leave Cleveland.
Why would
you believe?
Why would he leave?
You know, there's reports that he can go to the Lakers. There are reports out there that he can be a Laker.
No, I think... You know, as the criticism was, he's built this team. Why not stick with it? Because it's almost a foregone conclusion that they're going to go to the championship every year in the Eastern Conference the way it's set up right now.
Real quick, just an update. The Minnesota Timberwolves have just drafted Chris Dunn out of Providence with the 5th pick overall. So big ups to Chris Dunn. That's a nice pick. I like that pick. Chris Dunn, a good defender and a guy who plays winning basketball. I just want to see how he transitions to point guard position. But I think LeBron James is staying in Cleveland. But, you know, if he became a Laker, I'd be excited. But anyway, man, LeBron James won a championship in Cleveland. Has this helped the Washington Wizards? We'll talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strast.
Man, I love this. I love that song, man. French Montana, you got my girl Sanaa Lathan. Rumor has it. I'm not a big fan of that, though. So I'm looking out for you, homie. Watch me. Watch me find you, cuz. Watch me find you. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with my man, Ray Jeezy. I'm Wally. Will T is out on the injured reserve list, but he'll be back next week. He said within the next couple of weeks, so I believe in Will T. I believe that Will T will be back and making this team a three-man weave. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search Urban Sports Scene. We're there. We got a lot of good content. We got questions, so feel free to like us and be involved in the discussion. All right, the Washington Wizards, with LeBron James winning the championship for his home team, winning it for the land, do you think that may entice Kevin Durant to do the same thing here in D.C.?
I thought him being LeBron James going back home in general, you know, should in some way influence Kevin Durant. But based on the fact that Kevin Durant wants to be better than LeBron, I don't know if he wants to go on the same path, you know what I mean?
You don't see how that with the celebration with the, you know, the parade, how everybody's embracing LeBron for this accomplishment, how KD can do that, how that can help his legacy, bringing one back to DC.
It's a big difference, and this is where actually I'm going to give the Redskins a compliment. We've seen champions before. I don't think Cleveland has seen a champion in so long that this is the biggest thing in Cleveland. People probably called off of work. I mean, people definitely called off work to go and attend their parade.
Uh-huh.
You know, versus here, no, I'm not going downtown to see KD and the Wizards hoist up a title. No, it's not that big of a deal.
Why wouldn't you? Because you got stuff to do over here? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
That, and it's just not that important. We've seen champions before. You know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, we've seen the legendary Joe Gibbs hoist titles here. You know, we've seen the legendary Joe Theismann won a title too, right?
Yeah, Joe Theismann won a championship.
I was gonna say John Riggins, but yeah, John, you know, we have a legacy here. We don't have Craig Elo and Mark Price and Bernie Kosar and a bunch of failures in our history in this town. This is where I'm actually advocating for the Redskins. I'm vouching for the Redskins. You know, we have champions. We have Doug Williams in our history, man. We don't need Kevin Durant.
But the only champions, I mean, of real substance, because I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to play DC United.
Wes Unseld.
I'm not going to play DC United. You know what I mean? Wes Unseld. I mean,
I can't even name a player on DC United who won a championship.
Exactly. I'm not going to use that. But, I mean, LeBron. The Kevin Durant brings a championship here. I just feel like it's the nation's capital. It's the city. The love is going to be crazy, man. I mean, I would think he wants that.
Yes, it's just not going to compare to Cleveland. That's what I'm saying. Not disagreeing with you.
I don't know, man. I think
not going to compare to Cleveland.
To Cleveland? No. I think it'd be more national play for him. Why? Bring a championship to DC? I mean, to the Wizards. You know what I mean?
Look, Bryce Harper is going to be the toast of the town.
Man, Bryce Harper may not be here.
When Bryce Harper brings a World Series, that's going to be the biggest parade. A baseball title in DC? Come on, bro. The Wizards are maybe third. I'm just being real with you. You know the Redskins are first. As much as I don't like it, I think the Nationals have the potential to be first in our town. The Capitals are choke artists, so they're not going to be the toast of the town. Bryce Harper and the Nationals winning the title. Best believe with Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
Come on, now that's going to be more legendary than KD winning the title.
Man, you listen to Urban Sports and my man Ray Jeezy and myself, Wally. Again, feel free to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. The question is, with LeBron James winning a championship for his home team, will that entice Kevin Durant to do the same here in D.C.?
Please join the – I tapped you because Buddy Hield. He just went to New Orleans.
Oh, that's a good fit. I like that. Buddy Hield, New Orleans, you like – I mean, because, you know, Eric Gordon's a free agent, so pretty much he can be the two guard.
We'll see.
You said you don't like it. I can tell you. You'll see.
I'm not a big fan of it. Go ahead, though.
So what are some of the pros and cons of Kevin Durant
coming to D.C.?
Coming to D.C. compared to, like, a LeBron James.
LeBron James obviously played – he began his career in Cleveland. I think that's the biggest difference. So he was used to his friends being around. He was used to family, you know, being a potential distraction. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Versus Kevin Durant, it's difficult for him to function when he comes home in general. So I think right there, if you watch the HBO special, you saw that Kevin Durant, he said, when I come home, man, I just feel like I can't be who myself. It's always people wanting to talk to me, wanting to stop me. I feel like that comes with celebrity, but it's more magnified at home. So I believe that LeBron James knew how to deal with these things.
No, I agree with you. I think that LeBron James, I think Kevin Durant coming back home will be cool. I'm sorry, LeBron James. Sorry, Kevin Durant coming back home would be cool, but I think that the pros and cons, I think there's more for LeBron. There wasn't that much pressure on him. I wouldn't say there was pressure on him, but compared to Kevin Durant, you come to D.C., D.C.'s a bigger market. Doing it in Cleveland again, I don't think, you know, the media attention isn't the same.
LeBron James brought the media to Akron. He brought Sports Illustrated, ESPN to Akron. He's bigger. His storyline is bigger. It's more pressure on him. I'm just saying, KD, if you're KD and you have points of the season, long season, where you struggle, you know, how can you get back on track at home? With all the distractions that he complains about just coming to play DC, just coming to play the Wizards once. Uh-huh. And he says that the demand for tickets and people want to be around him is overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, he referenced on the HBO special that it's a lot of hecklers when he comes home too, which, you know, for whatever reason, it gets under his skin. Versus Oklahoma City, much more laid back town. Uh-huh. Of course, he's a celebrity, but he feels like it's more refuge there. He can go and find a resting place, you know, versus here. Where are you going to go? You're going to go way out Northern Virginia somewhere to probably just relax. And even that is a stretch because all the players, professional sports athletes, they live in Northern Virginia. So he won't have an ability to get a sabbatical or respite in this area versus Oklahoma City. You definitely can find peace when you're struggling.
Yeah, I agree. But anyway, it's about time for another commercial break. When we come back from break, we're going to have Miss Cecilia Towns from GladiatorHers.com to discuss the WNBA's top 20 players ever. So make sure you tune in. It's the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
I think your girl post a bill. So I hit her in the DM.
It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, that's your man. I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross. I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
Sorry, Rashawn Ross. Now it's the Urban Sports Scene. We're back from commercial break. Ray and Wally Wilty is out on injury reserve. Got hurt walking. Pray for him, people out there. Also, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast. They're friends of the show, footballgarbagetime.com. We've been battling them in picks. I didn't know we battled them in the NBA Finals picks, but apparently Wally did. And I'm guessing we all picked Golden State, so we're even on that one. But right
no,
now,
no, I didn't pick Golden State. I picked Cleveland. Oh, don't play me.
Well, sorry. I'm not trying to play you, but right now we're going to be talking about basketball, but just women's basketball, the WNBA, and we have a special guest. She is now part of the Urban Sports Scene family, so we're just going to introduce her as the founder and the blogger for GladiatorHers.com, Miss Cecilia Towns. Welcome to the show. What's happening?
Hi, guys. It's great to be back.
It was great to have you on.
Yeah. Did you just see they picked Betty for the number 6 pick?
Yeah, we saw. Yeah, Ray wasn't a big fan of it.
I didn't like the pick. That's all.
I know a lot of people aren't. I like him a lot.
You like, yeah, I think it's a good fit. I like the pick, and I like him in New Orleans. I like the pick for them.
Yeah.
I think they need a shooter. They need a shooter.
Yeah.
So I stumbled across your blog and I like the topic that you had. So I'm not gonna take credit for it, like I came up with this topic, because this is your topic. This is your thing. The WNBA name, like it's 20 greatest and most influential players in league history.
Right.
So my thing was like, I was thinking like, all right, like for me watching the Washington Mystics, I was thinking about Shamika Holsclaw. I'm about to say I'm bludging her name up.
Holsclaw. Go ahead.
I want to say Coleslaw for some strange reason. I don't know why. Then also McCray. I love McCray. I used to have a big crush on McCray.
Yeah.
I used to have the biggest crush on her.
Okay.
It's the truth. I did.
This is why Cecilia's here. To advocate so women aren't just looked at as these.
I know, but she had game too. She had game too. I mean, you could be pretty and have game. Don't mean nothing.
Listen, I mean, if you're going to watch because you think they're cute, I'll take that.
No, no, I'm watching for skill, but she was cute, too. Don't get it twisted. I thought she was both. I thought she was a baller and cute. But do you agree with the list?
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I mean, I won't say a lot because the community of people who follow the WNBA isn't, like, where it should be. But there's extensive discussions about this list. And I don't want to ever take away from, you know, what other people have done, right? So, I won't say that anybody that's on the list doesn't deserve to be on the list, but I do think that some pretty great talents are left off, but that's the nature of the beast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, if you did the same thing in the NBA, it'd be a lot of pissed off people to just name the top 20, the greatest influencers. Now, one person I would say is Dawn Staley. Like, I wish she had been on this. And, you know, I just feel like not only has she affected the game in the professional level, but at the college level. You know, she brought South Carolina. She made South Carolina what it is today. And I just feel like not including her on that list doesn't necessarily give her credit. And she was on the prior two lists. So there was a 15-year list, and there was a 10-year list. And so she made both of those lists, but didn't make the 20-year mark, which I just think is a little interesting.
That's crazy, because to me, she's
interesting. Yeah, me personally, I would like to have seen Dawn. I mean, she's got 3 gold medals. Uh-huh. You know, she's an all-star. And like I said, you know, she's had a huge impact on the game as a coach, which I think, you know, that says a lot for you. It's not many people that can play the game successfully and then go on to be successful coaches.
What do you think about Becky Hammond?
I mean, I think she's dope. about her, and I think she made the list, not simply, but in large part because of what she did in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
And so that's another reason I think Dawn should be there, because, you know, if you're giving people credit for being great coaches, like she should be on there as well. But, I think what Becky has done with her career is outstanding. I mean, she has opened a lot of people's eyes to the fact that women can be good coaches at any level. Like, they don't just have to coach women. Like, if you know basketball, you know basketball. And so, she's a trailblazer. She's opening doors. I kind of feel like what's not to love about her.
What about saying, like, Rebecca Lobo not being on the list?
Yeah, like her. I mean, like you said, Shamika. I mean, it's people that I feel like we're around the same age.
Yeah.
People that we grew up watching.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, dang, like, they didn't make the list. So, I mean, it's tough. It really is a tough call. I see, though, that in large part, I can see, like, the criteria. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody who won a national championship, a gold medal, and a championship in the WNBA, I feel like all nine of them made it. I think it's only nine women that have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, guys. I don't know. I don't know the criteria, but I do know that I feel like some people were left out that I would have picked to be on the list.
Yeah, because you referenced our age. Obviously, Dawn Staley, Rebecca Lobo, they were sort of like pioneers. I know when some, women's basketball fans think pioneers, they think Cheryl Miller or names like that. But obviously, this was the face of the league. We all watched Martin growing up. Dawn Staley was on Martin with Cheryl Swoops.
Yeah, definitely.
So it showed how big, women's basketball was when they were winning gold medals. But nonetheless, it is what it is. I don't agree with, like, Yolanda Griffith. I don't agree.
She was good,
I
though.
I like her game, but I just wouldn't put her in my top 10.
Sacramento, she got buckets, though.
But see, here's the thing. I have preferences. I think
here's a couple things. One, I think it's great that we can even have this conversation, right? Because if we were to have just 20 that everybody agreed on, that would mean that the talent level really wasn't there.
Yeah.
So the fact that we're able to have this conversation shows that there is a lot of talent in this league that's come through the league over the years. I think sometimes because the WNBA isn't, it's as massive, there are going to be women who have impacted the game in ways that we're not always familiar with. Like, a big name, I guess, for them doesn't always make you the greatest and the largest influencer. So, like, a person like Yolanda Smith, yeah, people would be like, huh, who's this?
Uh-huh.
But in actuality, I guess, she's had a larger impact than the public is kind of aware of.
That might be the case. I guess, like you said, it's a good discussion. I just have personal preferences. I like Larkathia Jones. A lot of people, Wally, you don't know who that is, do you?
No, she's exactly. Not my time.
She's actually probably younger than us. But she was very charismatic on the court.
Well, Mavica for the Lakers.
She was okay.
She was like
for the Lakers, first of all.
The Sparks. You know what I mean? Oh my God, the Sparks. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The Sparks.
Anyway,
I liked her game.
Swin Cash is one of my favorite players.
She scored though. She scored buckets.
And to me, she could be somebody who could actually do some work in the NBA. But anyway, I want to ask you this. I know we were just talking about all-time greats, but recently we had two undefeated teams meet, Minnesota Lynx, LA Sparks. Our own University of Maryland, Christy Tolliver, she's an alumnus, scored 20, while Maya Moore only had 8 points, although Minnesota pulled out a close win. Lindsey Whalen still pushing, even though she used to be one of those people you describe as like out of shape, at least in my opinion, but still balling out there, not getting the buzz like a Golden State was, but how big is this for the game right now with two teams, fighting for that top spot with one loss and an undefeated team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really good. I think it, I think that these kind of games are going to be more possible, or you're going to see a lot more of them as they start to mix up the schedule. But I think that overall it's good for women's basketball. It's good to be able to have games that we can sort of hype, and women who we can see under high pressure situations. We have high expectations for the best players in the league. We want to see them go toe to toe, and you don't always associate that with women's basketball. So I think it's wonderful. the issue that I personally have, and I know a number of other people have, is that they put this game on 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in Cali, 12 o'clock our time, in the middle of the week.
That's, I know.
So, like, that, it kind of makes no sense. Like, if you're going to tout this as a marquee game, like, let's give it prime time. Like, let's let people know that this game is coming on, and let's put a bigger push behind it. I think we could have gotten more from it if they had done a little better with the scheduling.
And speaking of attention, like you talking about, like that game, because I remember seeing it in a bunch. Me, a couple of friends of mine, we were like, why is this being on at 3 o'clock? That's kind of like, that's out for East Coast time. It's kind of ridiculous. So the attention, like, say that, and also the list, like the top 20 list. Like,
yes.
I had to search to find this. Like, it wasn't something that was promoted thoroughly for me. This, we're talking about all-time greats. If it was the men's game, we would have heard about this list easily. We're talking about, and we're talking about in an era of when people were... Like, I felt like that's what, at that time, I was following female basketball easily throughout, like, women's basketball. I was watching, like, Cheryl Swoops. I was a big fan of Cheryl Swoops and players of that caliber. And it's like, wow, there's an opportunity to see that type of list. I would have liked it for it to be promoted more or put out there better. Yeah. I want to know your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way. Well, one of the problems, I think, with the WNBA is they kind of run off this assumption that, oh, well, people who like basketball or people who watch the NBA, they're automatically going to watch the WNBA. It doesn't work like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to put a little more effort into, you know, developing your fan base and letting people know what's going on. And in this instance, they did a horrible job. Like, it came on, the list dropped on, I think, the 10 o'clock episode of SportsCenter. And then it was just like a blip. Like, I think Cohen read the list. If you look at the WNBA's Instagram page, they didn't even give each of the 20 ladies their own post. I think they stopped at like 10 ladies who got featured on the WNBA website for being a top 20 player of all time. Like, it was a poor performance, in my opinion, by the marketing people. You know, there should have been more build up. The ladies could have received a little more fanfare, greater recognition. You know, there was no place that you could go that I know of besides my website
that
listed everybody and listed their accomplishments. Like, even if you go to the WNBA's website, it lists the names and then it sort of groups people together. It's like, oh, we have 12 people who, you know, have gold medals. It wasn't done well. I'm disappointed.
Wow. Well, this is why, you know, you got to continue to do what you do. Keep on pushing. And I just hope this will be a stepping stone to you getting an even bigger platform to be able to share your views and continue advocating on behalf of all female athletes. So thanks as always for joining us. Before you get out of here, though, excuse me, let people know how they can find you.
So on social media, I'm Sporty Esquire. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. Sporty, S-C-O-R-T-Y, Esquire, E-S-Q-U-I-R-E. And, of course, like you guys said earlier, the blog is gladiatehers.com. And I appreciate you guys for having me on. Well, guys, signing off soon? Are you going to be on the show for the rest of the...
Oh, we're about to sign off.
Yeah, we're getting ready to sign off. But you know what? I'm going to prophesize a bit here. You know, this platform is going to be big enough for you to continue your advocacy at a higher level. So
awesome.
You need to go nowhere else.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't.
We're going to grow together.
You know it. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on. As always, we're going to try to have you again next week and the week after. We're going to try. We're going to make it happen.
All right. I'm good. Y'all have a good night.
All right. You take care. Stay blessed.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. That's such a great lady, man. Seriously, such a great lady.
Yeah.
Great. I appreciate you, Ray, for putting us in contact with her. Appreciate it.
I won't take credit, but...
You should take credit.
Things happen for a reason.
You should. She is swell.
Let's do this. the WNBA draft is not in primetime like this. We got to get that in primetime.
We got to. We got to get it in primetime. We got to make sure the WNBA is getting that love that like it needs to, because
we need a cover game. We talked about that.
We're going to. Okay. I claim it. My mom always told me, like, if I want it, I got to claim it. So I'm claiming it. We're going to do that. That's all the plan.
Let's do it.
And we're about to sign off. Thanks for you all listening to the show. We appreciate you all. Keep tuning in. Tuesday, we should be back on our regular time at 8 o'clock. So make sure you tune in and listen to us. Anyway, it's the Urban Sports Saint for ages. You dig deuces. Mega, please lead us out, homie. To the swag.